Well, good evening, everyone. I'd like to start this evening by telling you about a journey that I went on recently in my car. It was a very important journey, and I had to arrive at a certain time. I'd been there before, and I could remember most of the way, and I was all prepared for the part of the journey that I wasn't all that sure about, as I'd taken my sat-nav with me, and I got that in my car. Now, as I headed toward the part of my journey that I wasn't too sure about, I leaned over and turned on my sat-nav to give it enough time to get a good signal so that it could work out a route and guide me the rest of the way. But there was a problem. My sat-nav had developed a fault since I'd last used it, and it would only stay powered on for about a minute or so, and then it would switch itself off again. Not even enough time for it to get a good signal, let alone direct me on the rest of my way. And after a few attempts and to absolutely no avail whatsoever, I approached the part of the journey that I wasn't too sure about. A road junction. Well, a crossroads, to be exact. And this crossroads gave me my three choices. Do I go left? Do I go right? Or do I just keep on going straight? And without any road signs to tell me the right way, as a man, it was difficult to come to terms with because I was lost. And with no one around for me to ask directions, well, I started to panic. Well, only a little bit. You see, this was just typical. This was the one time that I needed help and I needed a bit of guidance, and I couldn't have it. I was on my own and I had to decide for myself which way I had to go. And what made it worse was that I wouldn't be able to try each of the three different routes and then turn around and retrace my steps and go back and try another way. And I couldn't take my time either in deciding which way to go, as I was now starting to run a bit late. I had to make a decision, and I had to make it quick. And then I had to stick to my decision, and I would have had to have lived. I had to live with the consequences. So, being an educated chap, I decided to turn right. On the basis that was the general direction of where I needed to be. And I just followed the road and just kept on going until I recognised where I was. And thankfully, I arrived safely and on time at my destination. And then I started to think about it. Because, you know, our journey through life is very much like that journey I had to take. This is the kind of crossroads which we all, both young and old, come to at some point on our way through life. But it is mainly when we're young that we have to make decisions that will mean that we will leave our childhood behind us, and with our adulthood ahead of us, we have to make a decision about which road we wish to travel the rest of the way. The decisions then that we have to then take will affect us all of our lives. Decisions about our education, our further education, our careers, about marriage, and so on. And unlike any other type of traveller, there can be no retracing of steps or turning back. To turn the wrong way at the crossroads of our youth is to bring upon ourselves much trouble and anxiety before the true path can be found again, if in fact it ever is. And you can't always rely on the information you are given by others. You do have to use your own judgment and think about which way you want to go carefully. For example, one man ended up with a careless driving charge after his sat-nav left his car perched on the edge of a cliff. The driver had followed the device's instructions as he headed for a friend's house, even when it began taking him up a very steep and rocky footpath. He finally realised something was seriously wrong when his car hit a fence just inches from a 100-foot drop. The driver said he had just trusted the sat-nav, even though it kept insisting that the path he was on was in fact a road, even when it was getting narrower and steeper. And traffic conditions in our model world make it almost inevitable that disaster follows the disregard of basic principles of road safety. And because of incidents like that becoming more common, some authorities now have to install signs at the opening of some roads, telling people not to follow their sat-navs and drive down them, as it has led to so many accidents and crashes. And of course, the manufacturers of these handy little devices always stress that they are simply just a guide to aid your journey. And even the highway code itself states that there is a danger of driver distraction being caused by in-vehicle systems, such as satellite navigation systems. You must exercise proper control of your vehicle at all times. Do not rely on driver assistance systems. They are available to assist, but you should not reduce your concentration levels. Do not be distracted by maps or screen-based information, such as navigation systems, while you are driving. If necessary, find a safe place to stop. So when we come to the crossroads of our youth, we are met with many other people from all different types of backgrounds, but generally with one thing in common, and that is the desire to live their own lives free from adult control or nagging interference, and to be real people in their own right. And it's impossible not to feel the thrill and excitement at this crossroads in our lives, because we are young and we have a lot of energy, and this zest for life must find an outlet in some sort of physical activity. It's the age of resilience, when bodily knocks and fatigue are quickly thrown off, and anything in the world seems possible. And now the rest of our lives lies before us, ready to be grasped with both hands, and of course in their newfound independence, of course they will not make the mistakes of their parents. But it's also here that the reality begins to kick in, and we soon realise the scope and the size of the dilemmas that we can be faced with. There are the distractions around us that will take us away from making the decisions that we ought to. We suddenly have money to spend, and there are those who would convince us that happiness is found and the goal of living is to be found with what they have to offer. This, they will say, is life, and you cannot do without this. Whatever this is, whether it is the latest app or gadget that you just simply can't do without, or the latest fashions, as what you currently have is so last week. The market at the crossroads is crammed full with goods specially designed with you in mind, and incidentally, all the other millions just like you. It becomes then a matter of wise choice, as also at the marketplace you can find the necessities of life, the everyday. No, they're not as glamorous or as attractive, but a lot more beneficial and a lot more longer lasting. And we must not, however, confuse life and happiness with our enjoyment of the phase which we are passing through, and so feel we are not really living unless we have all the things that we want now. Neither must we think that the pleasures of life are all wrong and that we can only be doing right if we are miserable. Our capacity to enjoy life is the true pleasure and wise use of the opportunities found at this crossroads, the true happiness. It is inevitable then that we will be faced with the moral decisions of how we want to spend our life and the basis on which we will want them to stand. And it's at this point that I'd like to offer you something that can stay with you forever. That's something that you don't need to buy, but that can be yours, and that can be yours to keep forever. But it will need some looking after, and it does have a high level of responsibility. Any good guidebook provides a traveller with sound information about his route. It usually contains a useful map to give him a general idea of the way, the direction in which his destination lies. And the Bible is simply that. It is a book from God to aid us in our journey through life, supplying all the information necessary for it in sufficient variety and detail. It gives its own explanation of the origin and purpose of life, leaving men with no doubt of the reasons for suffering and evil, and giving hope of a full and satisfying life, both now and that which is to follow. Its teaching is presented in a variety of separate books, which record in the main God's dealings with people, whether nations, groups, or individuals. Any geographical or historical details, accounts of men's lives, even poetry and music, are made to serve the central purpose, that of explaining God's ways to men. If its prime concern seems to be the nation of Israel in the earlier books, it is only because God revealed himself as the God of their history, and in that history he explained the principles of his dealings with all men, as we find in the Gospel of John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible claims to be the word of God and commands full acceptance by all men, as it holds the key to all the secrets and problems of human life. It can only guide you to one of two ways for you to go: the way of life or the way of death. Alternative routes are not indicated. It seems difficult to some how the Bible could possibly be relevant to them in these days. After all, when has anyone in the Bible had to make a difficult decision about which way in life they should go? Well, let's turn and find out. Turn with me, please, to Genesis, the first book of the Bible, and chapter 12 and verse 1. You see, there used to be a man called Abram who lived in the land of Canaan with his wife, Sarai, and his nephew, Lot. And it's while he is here that God spoke to him. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Abram now has a decision in life to make. Stay in the land that he is used to, surrounded with everything he owns, surrounded by his family and everyone who knows him, or leave and follow in what God wants him to do. You see, the principle is exactly the same. Different circumstances, but still relevant to us. The Old Testament outlines a series of great historical events in which God acted in human history to develop his purpose through men and nations. These are very important for us to consider, because God himself invites us to consider them as evidence that he is at work and that he will bring the promises of the future to their fulfillment. And we can see from verse 4 what Abraham went on to do. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And verse 5, and Abraham took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Abraham followed in what God had said to him. He had a difficult decision to make. He had an uncertain future ahead of him. But he believed in God, knowing that he was completely trustworthy, being the God of creation. And so he decided to walk in his ways. And because of that, later God makes a covenant with him and blesses him and changes his name to Abraham, which we can read about if we go over to chapter 17 of Genesis and at verse 1. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. We can also see in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, Abraham's faith in life being summed up. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham knew he would have difficulties ahead of him, but he also knew that he couldn't face them on his own, and he had faith that it would be better to be with God. If it seems that we have looked a lot at the life of Abraham, it's because his experiences explain so much of God's purpose with men. In fact, we can see from the opening words of the New Testament that we find in Matthew, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. We can see here that this suggests that the life of Abraham is of great importance for us, for the understanding of the life and teachings of Jesus. Matthew opens the New Testament by tracing Jesus' ancestry from Abraham and David, because their hopes centred in him and in his gospel. Incidentally, Luke traces it back to Adam to show that it is this fundamental problem of mankind and their behaviour which Christ solved by facing the problem squarely himself. But let us make no mistake. Christianity has nothing to do with airy-fairy ideas. It's concerned with men of flesh and blood and how they behave in their everyday life. And this means the problems of our careers, of us with our parents, of our husband or wife, or boyfriend or girlfriend. It is for real people with real problems. Although it is not a way of solving them completely or of avoiding difficulties, but it is a way of living through them and making something eternal out of them. And it is so concerned because we are the people who can become real people if we choose. As through Christ we can be remade into the person we would like to be. For it is not character that will be remade when Christ returns, only bodies. The character must be remade now. To take the way of life, which he indicates, is a matter of personal choice. It is a matter of deliberate choice also, as the majority of human traffic is moving in the opposite direction. And Jesus spoke of this as he uses the example of the two gates. Go in by the narrow gate, he says, for the wide gate has a broad road which leads to disaster, and there are many people going that way. The narrow gate and the hard road lead out into life, and only a few are finding it. Jesus makes no attempt to deceive us. He knows that the choice is not easy, and there are certain restrictions along the way, which is why it is a quieter route. And we must always remember that we are to follow in his steps. He commanded his disciples to follow him. So we are following someone who has gone before us, someone who knows what the journey is like, and someone who will help us when we need it, and not to just follow him in a way that he would like us to go. To not choose the way of God and to rely on our own efforts, well, that's a very risky thing to do. Let's now briefly turn to the reading that we had earlier from Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And Jesus said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these. But rather, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. From this small section, we can see that God knows what we need every day of our lives, that he cares for his creation, and that the first thing we should have in mind is to look for the kingdom of God first and foremost, to follow in that direction, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. It is more than just a way of living. The standard is very high, and none of us can keep it up. We start with so many disadvantages anyway, don't we? We are born dying, so to speak. And with the best will in the world, we don't seem to get any farther. And bad habits are like favourite clothes. They always seem to fit much better. And this is precisely why a saviour is necessary. This is the aspect of Christianity that distinguishes it from all other religions, as it is not merely a way of living, but it is a way of life. While we're at the crossroads, and before we can set off in the way and in the footsteps of Jesus, we have to be baptized, or we put on Christ, to use a scriptural phrase. In baptism, we are symbolizing our old ways being washed away, and then we are raised out of the water again into a new life. Just as Jesus suffered and died and then rose again to a new life, so we must die with him, and then we are born again to a new way of living. This is the genuine fresh start, and with it, the realization that trying does not always bring perfection. From now on, we do not try to live by ourselves, but let Christ live in us, until eventually the new man or woman will be completely formed. There will still be failures, and sometimes very bad ones, but these can all be forgiven, provided we are trying wholeheartedly to live this new life. It is not to be expected that even on the way of life, which leads through this world, that we shall not stumble and fall. The important thing is not to turn back or look around for another shortcut. This is where prayer to God fits in. For the Master is really present with us, although unseen, but we have to keep in touch. The crossroads of life is a place of danger, but also a place of opportunity. We are confronted with two ways to go, and the choice is ours to make. No one can make up our minds for us or force the decision. But the wisdom and the experience of the writers of this guidebook will help us to decide.